We continue in these days of the Feria of Easter to bask in the glory of the beautiful readings from both St. John's Epistle and from his Gospel concerning the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, the first reading in particular reminds us that it is our faith which will overcome the world, that is, the world that belongs to Satan, over which he is the prince, and over which he roams, seeking to devour souls like a lion at night. And so it is our faith. But that faith needs to be a faith that is active. It is not a dead faith. A dead faith is the faith of a person who has been baptized, who is in a state of mortal sin. Were that person to die, they would go immediately to hell. And that's not the faith that we want. We want a living, active, participant faith that rejoices in the Lord. And of course, these days of Easter, which is other than Lent, which is a preparation for Easter, it is the longest season of the whole liturgical year, for 50 days up to the Ascension and then up to Pentecost, and even then the octave of Pentecost, which is ultimately the most important octave of the whole liturgical year and above. Of course, they got rid of that because it is the most important. It is the octave which pleads and accepts the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are so necessary, which would prevent the evils that are going on in the world today. And so, for these 50 days and then the octave of Pentecost, so 58 days, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ our Lord. No wonder the likes of St. John Paul II and others with him before have proclaimed that as Catholics we are an Easter people. We are an Alleluia people. Now, yes, there's a lot of parts of our faith and of our spiritual life as Catholics that are sorrowful. There can be no Easter if there is no Passion, if there is no crucifixion. But that is not the end of it. That is the beginning, and that is the means by which the Son of God, become man, and truly God, has won our salvation. And so we are indeed an Easter people. And our lives should be lived in such a way. Not that we're partying and carrying on all the time. That's not what that means. It means that we find our joy in our faith in the risen Christ. If we do not have faith in the risen Christ, then everything else is a waste of time, as St. Paul reminds us. But it is faith in the risen Christ. And it is that faith which compelled the saints, the millions of saints, those whom we know, and there are millions, and then those whom we do not know, and there are many, many more besides, who are in heaven. It compelled them to follow Christ, to live for Christ, to suffer, and to die for Christ. And so our being an Easter, an Alleluia people, does not mean that it's just a few words, or it's a lot of hoopla. We are not Protestants or heretics or charismatics. We are Catholics. But Catholics need to give the example to others who are not part of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, which is necessary for salvation. We must give them an example that to be a Catholic does not mean to go around with tears in one eye and looking frowning and, you know, squeezing our hands as if we have no hope. Our faith is a religion of hope. It is also a religion of faith, active faith. And it is also a religion of charity, active charity, the state of grace, which means that we are able to love God as much as we can possibly love Him in our lowly human estate, and to be loved by God, who will elevate us and eventually, at the end of our lives, will resurrect our bodies and unite our bodies with our souls, hopefully, prayerfully, in the kingdom of heaven. And of course, many, many saints are already there. Among them is one of the saints which we commemorate today. I don't know too much about him. Don't quote me, because I'm supposed to know everything. But anyway, Pope St. Julius I. And what's interesting is, we have only had two popes with the name of Julius. He, St. Julius, and then Julius II, who did a lot for the church. And of course, he's the one that brought us the beautiful Sistine Chapel with Michelangelo Buonarroti, and was one of the ones who began the construction and the raising money of the Basilica of St. Peter that we know today, which is the grandest, most wonderful church in the whole Catholic world. And of course, so he did some good, but he was not a good person or a good pope in the sense that he had many faults that were known to all. At least they were not hidden like they are today. I was very distressed and concerned last night when I was seeing this YouTube video from the Remnant TV, which is one of the most traditional Catholic places that exists in the internet world, one that is usually very reliable, and it is reliable. I don't necessarily agree with the editor all the time, but he was saying something that is absolutely true, which I've said, which you hopefully have heard, if you hear anything. All the troubles of the church, those we are experiencing now, which are so many, we cannot even dare to cover them, are not just after Vatican II. They were before Vatican II. And St. Pius X lamented that modernism was creeping totally into the church. He tried to wipe it out, but he failed. And he knew it. But he was lamenting the fact, this editor, Michael Matt is his name, that recently there have been several priests in the Society of St. Pius X, in the Fraternity of St. Peter, and even one in the Institute of Christ the King, that have been arrested and condemned for pederasty and pedophilia and child porn. And they say the traditional Mass every day. And he says, don't ever say, no, this cannot happen. Well, it has. And it has for 2,000 years. And of course, we remember St. Peter Damian, who wrote about the crisis of homosexuality in the priesthood 1,000 years ago. And they had the traditional Mass then, even more traditional than what we have. A lot of things were done away with, and I think mistakenly so by St. Pius V, that are really tradition, not just somebody's inventions. And so we have to pray for a living faith. A living faith, which means that it is both joyous, it's both hallelujah, but it's also miserere mei, Domine, have mercy on me, O Lord, because we do not stop being sinners, traditional Mass or not. We must pray for the church, which is in such deep trouble today. Have mercy on us, Pope St. Julius I, and all you holy angels and saints in heaven, and all you holy souls in purgatory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.